to welcome you to the April 15th meeting of the Plainview Old Bethpage Board of Education. I'd like to ask everybody to stand for the pledge. Seth.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any board announcements? Oh, wait, do we have our high school rep? I see.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So we just had our pre-prom meeting the past two weeks for juniors and seniors, and the high school college fair happened. Also, this past weekend, we had the high school musical, which I did see, and it was amazing. But I also wanted to talk about National Honor Society. We held an event, and it was absolutely amazing. I know for the students who went, it was a great experience. I hope that everyone else had a wonderful experience as well. But we had lunch, and we served that to the senior citizens who wanted to come, and they were able to see the show as well. And we were socializing with them, and we served them lunch, and it was really a great experience. I had a wonderful time, and I know everyone else working had a great time too. Yeah, but it was a really great experience, and the show was amazing. The students are always great. So that's it for, I mean, nothing really else has happened, but, yeah. Yes, looking forward to spring break. I hope you all enjoy your break. Thank you so much.
And thank you. Middle school person. Middle school. Hello.
Hi, I'm Ariana Levy, and I'm the president of student council at POB. POB Middle School is blossoming with excitement this spring. Our library media specialist, Ms. Peterson, kicked off the month with her own version of March Madness. Students were up for the challenge as they read four books this month and then voted on their favorite. Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, was selected as the fan favorite. Our annual Dancing with the Teachers took place on Friday, April 5th, during extended MAP. We had a record total of seven MAP classes perform alongside their teachers. Thank you to Ms. Markowitz-Abel for organizing the day. POB Middle School in Matlin participated in their first high school peer mentoring session. Students learned about the first few weeks of high school from the high school peer mentors. Pride Club at POB participated in the second annual Day of Silence. Students volunteered to stay silent throughout the course of the school day on Friday, April 12th, to represent the silence experience as a result of LGBT-related bullying. At the end of the day, students attended a Pride Club meeting in which the silence was broken. Students led a discussion surrounding their own personal experiences throughout the day and the necessity of student support and advocacy. Students at Matlin and POB Middle School are preparing for their annual trip to Boston. This year's itinerary includes a Fenway Park Stadium tour, a visit to the Boston Museum of Science, and a day touring the campuses of Harvard University and MIT.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Any board announcements? Susan, we'll go around.
So I do want to give two shout-outs. We were able to attend on April 6th the NASA BOCES Education Partner Award Dinner at the Crest Hollow, and it was wonderful to be able to honor one of our own, Mrs. Lindsay DeLuca. She's one of our business teachers and runs DECA. It was really nice to hear and see her, and it was wonderful to see all the support that she had. Also, I want to wish the POBOTS good luck in next week's tournament out in Detroit. So go Plainview.
Thank you, Deb. Last week, my husband and I had the great experience of attending Mamma Mia, the production at the high school. And it was just amazing. Our students are so talented. Some of those voices just blew us away. The set designs, the costumes. I love that Mr. Murray participates. He's very talented. And what an incredible experience, a special experience for the students. Really special. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Olivari and his production team and all of the students on the stage and behind the scenes. As an aside, our auditorium looks amazing. The sound was great. really a great evening. And again, I'd like to congratulate the high school.
A few days after our last board meeting was POB Steam Night at POB Middle School. And it was attended, I think, by over 1,000, I don't remember, maybe over 1,200 even, but certainly over 1,000 attendees. And it was fantastic. The number of volunteers, the students, the staff, parents, children, it was just, it was buzzing. And it was... I think the only regret is that there wasn't enough time to go and visit each of the classrooms that had the workshops, as well as each in the cafeteria and the lunchroom. But it was fantastic, and looking forward to another one soon.
I also would just like to say the same thing about the play. I was trying to find, I had gotten something from Cheryl Dender, who had worked with the high school to do such a wonderful luncheon. And in essence, what it was a luncheon for the senior citizens, and then they went to see the play. And a gentleman, 87 years old, afterwards went over to Cheryl and said that this was one of the best days that he had ever had, and that he was, you found it? Okay, let me read it to you. Because this is what it's all about. We're in for the kid business, but we're also, it's our community that makes us who we are. Thank you so much for the kind words. I'd love to share what a 97-year-old man said to me after the show as we were helping him into a wheelchair for one, and one of the students was helping to wheel him into this car. It literally brought me to tears. And he said, "I want you to know that for the first time in many years, today, I am so happy to pay my taxes." Very few districts like ours support a very active senior citizen club. And I just want to thank everybody who was involved with that, because this is what it's about, for people to see and reap the pleasures and the rewards of what our kids are doing. And on another note, there was a community near us where a child died by suicide yesterday. And I just want to say to parents and to everybody, you have to look for warning signs. You have to look for the child who has become depressed, withdrawn, angry. Their friendships are just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. These aren't accidental things happening. These are warning signs that a child is in distress. Never say, "Not my child." Watch your child's body language. Watch how they speak to you or how they don't speak to you. But this is becoming just too often that this is the way a child feels they can no longer go on. And I just implore everybody, go home and hug your kids and let them know it's unconditional love. Whatever they do, whatever they feel, you love them. And it's all that really matters. Okay, Dr. Lewis.
Well, I also want to echo what you've all said about the play. Was a wonderful event. Of course, Mr. Oliverio is, he's the consistent person throughout the years. So I just, you know, he always says, well, it's the teachers and the students who bring it out. But, you know, I also want to salute him, because somehow he manages to reach perfection each year. And you keep thinking it can't get any better, but
well,
it does.
Say that each year. Yeah,
but it does get better, and it's better. But there are a couple of things that happened over the past week, and one of them is the same senior citizens had the day before on Friday had a tech day, and our high school students went over to the senior citizens, the center, and taught them how to use their phones. Now, some of them had flip phones, and, you know, and, yeah, but... At the luncheon on Saturday, you know, they all said how much they appreciated that the children, same Honor Society students, went over and showed them how to use their phones. And one citizen said, "You know, for the first time, I was able to text my granddaughter."
And
just... they've now found a purpose, and one of them FaceTimed for the first time. So that's the Honor Society. And then the following day, on Saturday, they hosted 100 senior citizens, 100. And those children, they charged $5 for the event, but those children took the $500 that they received from the tickets, and they donated it to a special cause, MS. And then they provided all of the lunch. So not only did they take the money in and then had it used for another event, they brought in a very, very, they wouldn't accept, Cheryl was going to do the lunch. She was going to make the lunch and charge maybe 50.
I don't know that Cheryl was
going to
ask.
No. She wasn't. But she was going to oversee the luncheon.
Ah, that's a better word.
I'd charge a little bit more and do a very nice luncheon. You couldn't have done a better luncheon. These kids all found restaurants and donated from themselves. The menu was amazing. I had lunch, so I could tell you. But they had salad and sausage and peppers and meatballs and pizza and two different kinds of salads and a ton of desserts. This was no small luncheon. And then they had a quartet that was playing. It was just, it was such an amazing event. It was just superb. And then the children had wheelchairs so that they could transport the senior citizens, those who needed it, from the cafeteria area to the play. But that's not all. They actually checked their walkers. This was some operation. Put a number on the walker, had them seated in their chairs, and then they went back. And as soon as the play was over, actually at intermission, they brought the walkers back in case they wanted to use go to the bathroom. Took them to the bathroom, took them back. At the end of the play, brought the walkers back, and then took them to their cars. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. It is. In fact, when I tweeted out, I said they lit their service candle on Saturday and on Friday. And that's what it's all about. And that's also a salute to, Kelly Baum, who really is, she has really transformed that National Honor Society. You know, we always say get the right people in the right seats and move that bus. Well, she's moving that National Honor Society bus. And I say salute to Kelly for what she has done and for the high school for supporting that. That's transforming. That is transformational. And Cheryl, you're in the right seat. And you're on that bus and you're moving that bus. And we want to thank you for everything you've done.
It was just a wonderful day for all. And for those of us who saw the play more than once,
yes.
It was just very exciting. And Father Murray, you were wonderful.
Yeah.
You kept the same way each time. Okay, we're going to go on now to our modifications to our budget.
I have it written down. I can't believe it. And then, because I was so excited about the play, I want to congratulate Greg Sesney on his he receives... Administrator of the Year from Saney's for his exceptional service to children. So we will all be there to celebrate with you as you receive your award. Very proud of you. Well deserved.
Budget modifications. Do you want, Dr. Lewis, do you want me to go through the pilot hearing first or afterwards?
I'd like you to do the pilot hearing because it ties in.
Okay. So I will... I'll make this brief. Today, I attended a hearing for two separate pilot applications with the Nassau County IDA. And although I'm not a member of Plainview Moms, I know that some of the chatter regarding this over the weekend was that the hearing was not in Plainview. It was actually down in the village of Oyster Bay in a little tiny room that's hard to find. So I'll come back to that a bit later because somebody did actually get down there and speak to that, and then I spoke to Arnie Drucker later about that. There was a long story behind that. There are two pilot applications. The hearing for these two applications was today, and they're going to the IDA agenda this Thursday, April 18th. So it looks like they're moving pretty quickly. One is rather large. CHS Plainview is actually a company that wants to redevelop the former Marriott property across from the hospital. And during my remarks at the hearing, I brought to their attention that this kind of holds a bit of special place for us because that's actually former school district property that had been an active building from the 50s to the 70s, right, Central Park Road School. Then the district sold the property off. It eventually became the Marriott. Now the Marriott is vacant. What they propose is to create it as a senior living facility. So not assisted living, but senior living. Right now the space has 170 rooms in it. They would reduce it to 111. But the real talking point, and we've talked about this, and it's part of the letter that you've kind of directed me to read, is to talk about how the pilots erode the tax base, the taxable assessed values in the school district. And although their attorney got up and said that it's a net neutral, I replied by looking at our latest financial statement dated June 30th, 2018. We can see that, where's my analysis? Nassau IDA has, we received $920,870 in pilot payments last fiscal year. However, when we look at those nine properties, and we look at how much they would have paid if they were on the tax rolls, they would have paid $1,113,126. So it's a difference of about $200,000. And the difference is made up by the residences, mostly homeowners, that are actually paying the taxes. Because the school board sets one number, the tax levy, and the county guarantees that, and they make it happen. So if there's a shortfall in pilots, that $200,000 goes to the rest of our residents. Over 10 years, that'll be over $2 million that taxpayers in Plainview have to make up. Now, the size of this CHS pilot would increase total pilot payments to the district by 65%, okay, because last year that property paid a little over $625,000 in school taxes. So they want to make it so that the IDA is sending us pilots that equal the tax payments. And I also noted that over time, the pilot schedule starts to lag behind what the actual tax value would be. The other pilot is for a smaller company called Lifetime Chimney on Ames Court. It's an existing property. The letter that the board wrote that I read actually addresses that one of the things that we're particularly frustrated with the Nassau IDA is that they are not necessarily bringing in new business, but they're granting these to existing businesses. Part of this pilot, I noted, was also for a piece of their parking lot, which is not going to generate jobs. Last year, they paid $882,756. It does sound like they want to expand the business and stay here, but they are an existing business, and they're thriving in the setting that they have now. I wanted to go back to the idea of these pilot hearings are always held in rather obscure places. Larry Weiss, who's very active in the chamber, made it for the second hearing, and he spoke to the frustration of having hearings for things that are occurring in Plainview Old Bethpage in some place that could be 25, 30 minutes away and not necessarily easy to get to, and also during hours when people are working. Most people are working. So he had got up, left his business, got down to the second hearing, and asked, well, why not in Plainview if it impacts Plainview? I later connected with Arnie Drucker, who said his office was actually working since January, and he shared me the emails where they offered to facilitate getting the meeting here. And that was at the end of January. They followed up in February. It wasn't until the Thursday before they had to schedule the meeting, so the last week in March, that they actually contacted Mr. Drucker's office to say, well, we really can't find any place. Can you find us someplace really quick? You know, when it was Thursday afternoon, you know, the answer was no. So we ended up in Oyster Bay again. So we will see how that that goes, but they will be voting on it this Thursday, and the hearing, of course, was today.
I have to. Do they ever say no? Does the IDA ever? Because I think back, you know, you said they're granting these pilots now to existing companies, and we just had this situation 2 years ago with Cox and Company, correct? Where Cox wanted to do an expansion. And I remember what struck me with that scenario was that was a manufacturing plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is to move a manufacturing plant? I don't think they were going to get up and go if we didn't give them that extra little tax break, because the cost of moving a manufacturing facility is enormous. Do they ever say no?
My feeling is that if it gets to the hearing, then they're saying yes.
But there are...
There are applications, and there were conversations in between these two hearings about applications that just die out, that don't seem to have the substance, that they don't think the business is going to be successful. So it seems to me that if it gets to the hearing, they're going to say yes, unless something really earth-shattering comes up. And there's usually only one speaker at the meeting. That's me. So, but we are there. I did speak to Chris Shishko of Gersio & Gersio, who really kind of works in this area in the law firm, and we were batting around the idea of what can a school board do, and he is going to speak to Mr. Gersio about this, that perhaps one of the things we might be able to do is once we become aware that there is a preliminary application, that might be a time where the school district reaches out directly to the applicant and sees what they can do to perhaps get a more cooperative deal or let them know directly what the reservations are. But Mr. Shishko is going to speak to Mr. Gersio about that and look to advise school boards about that.
In the applications, do they ever note how many jobs they're going to be bringing in and at what wages? I mean, because most of these seem to be low, just above minimum wage jobs that someone couldn't even live in Plainview based on our own tax bases. So, like, is that ever noted?
Yes. They in their applications, they have to say the number of positions they expect to bring on board and in the years that they expect to do it. They don't have to give the wages, but they give a general description of the jobs, which gives you an idea of what the wages might be.
So, like, in the and this CHS, from what I understand, is a D.C., business, not even a New York State business, forget about Nassau County. So my understanding is all hourly wage aid workers, basically.
At the hearing, and they actually did have two other speakers who were representatives of, I think it was the Plumbers Union. Let me see. I have to get the right notes here. Labor's Local 66. And Plumbers Local 200, they each had a speaker there. They spoke in support of the projects, and what they actually said is they're in support of the projects because the developer already told them they'd get the jobs.
But it's a one-time job for them. It's just for the construction. It's not as it's not project. Mm-hmm. It's not a not a long-term.
No, it's to for the redevelopment, and then
At the public hearing on Thursday, will they allow public participation, or it's an open meeting without a public participation?
I think it's an open meeting without public participation.
I think the frustration is that this can also begin to set a new precedent. There's a lot, if you drive through all the different businesses that are existing and you don't know if they're going to expand or not, we can't afford to take these hits on our tax base, we really can't, and that I think that we have to become more vocal, and that if we can get people to go to the meetings when there is public participation to let our local representatives know how it's impacting us. We've had some major, Central General became Plainview Hospital, $624,000 we lost. Taxpayers are making up that money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like changing everything from a federal to a state level that we then pick up the bill. We have a cap. We have to live within that cap. We have to do what's right for our community, but I think that we should let our elected officials know exactly how we feel about it also.
And that was another piece of what I said, that we not communities are frustrated, and Plainview Old Bethpage is frustrated because the school boards work very hard, and we'll talk about it again tonight, how we're trying to stay below the cap. And residents, no matter what we do, continue to experience tax increases that are greater than levy increases. And it's because of the erosion of our assessed values. And I pointed out that we see development all over Plainview Old Bethpage, and assessed values are still going down. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay. Thank you so much for attending. And for anybody out there, make phone calls to your local legislators and the town board. Just let them know exactly how you feel about what's going on. There's somebody there who lives in our community. Let them know how it's impacting us. But I think that this is something the community has to rally together and say enough is enough. Anyone else? Thank you.
So we'll move on to modifications, but rather than run through the whole proposed budget, because I do think we're about to make some modifications, we'll go back to the superintendent's proposed budget that had a budget, it still has a budget, the budget increase of 2.36% and a proposed tax levy increase of 1.99%. And I'm going to suggest that we start on the revenue side, because generally when we go through this process, we start adding, right? And I think people wonder, well, what number are we going to get to? So I think I want to point out that the board has kind of set a target, along with the superintendent, of keeping our taxes at about 2%. So let's go to the modification sheet, and perhaps this time we work a bit backwards. Yep.
Rich, one second. For board members, if we want to add something in, we have to have a motion and a second, and we have to vote it in. Same thing to remove it. Yes, as we go along.
Or do you want to start, go from top to bottom?
Top to bottom.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to suggest we start with the revenue, but if you want to go from top to bottom. Okay. So one thing we did is we reanalyzed our employee benefit accrued liability reserve appropriation. This is on the revenue side of the budget, not the expenditure. And we're going to recommend that we increase that appropriation by $156,307. Do you want me to go through all of them or just one by one and see if there are questions? State aid, with the past state budget, we got new numbers in a combination of foundation aid and other computer-driven aids. We see an increase of $675,402. Part of that is a foundation aid increase of $88,870, and the rest are corrections in transportation aid and other aid categories, equaling $586,500. And then there's a last piece, which I'm calling closed capital projects, and they're actually sitting in the capital fund. And so on our financial statement, we have roughly $620,000 worth of appropriations that predate 2011 for projects that are completed. And these appropriations were not used and don't have a project to attach them to. And then in the 12-13 fiscal year, we're done with all of those projects that the board had planned to do. And there's about another $23,000 there. So you add them together, and there's $641,100 in closed capital projects that we would suggest moving back into the revenue stream. So that would be increasing a revenue modification, if you take all of them, of a little over $1.4 million.
So before you go on, I know that sometimes people don't understand. Let me simplify that piece, that closed capital projects. These were funds that are left over from old capital projects. So we had budgeted it over previous years. The projects are now completed, and that's money left over from those projects. You can't simply it's been sitting there over the years with different projects. So we have captured all of those, and now we're reallocating it into this budget to spend it on, and you'll see how we're going to be spending it. So it's not new
it's not monies that the public will be spending taxed on. They'll be spending it because they've already approved it, and that's just monies that were left over that we're now using. So.
Mm-hmm. So do we want to vote on those or go up to the top?
Yes, no.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion? Debbie, second, Susan. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved.
And also the reserve appropriation.
Motion on that? Seth, second. Jody, any discussion? All in favor?
All right, so did we just go up there?
We want to thank our legislators, and we've already sent letters to our legislators thanking them. Okay. Just so people understand, I'm just going to walk through as it comes up. We had, when we built the budget with the team, we had four breakage positions. We built that budget in November, and since then we've seen our enrollment increase at Pasadena, and we're watching a JJP in one section, and I think old Beth Page, no, just JJP. So we actually have allocated two of the breakage positions that are already in the budget over to Pasadena. So what's remaining, if the board were to adopt the proposed budget, would be only two breakage positions remaining in the current proposed budget. So not feeling very comfortable about it, given the fact that we now have the grade three at Pasadena, all at max, actually beyond max. We feel there are 29. We start, before Portal Day, they were at 25, and now all sections are at 29. We feel that we would ask the board to fund an additional two breakage positions. If we don't need them, we won't use them, but if we need them. So that would make that the unallocated positions four. So we would have four.
Just to note, at the last meeting that we had lengthy discussions about concerns about the two that would be left. And as we go through, anyone wants to comment on what we did. But these were things that we brought up that the board has concerns about also. Seth.
Okay, so.
Are you on?
I think I'm on, yeah. So I was going to make a motion on the breakage. So I want to make a motion, but the only additional thing that I would just add is that if history is any indication, even the last couple of years, like last year we had earmarked three breakage, and we filled all three. The year before, we marked three, and we filled over two of them, almost two and a quarter of them. So and at that point, we had not allocated when we did our budget. Mm-hmm. So if history is any indication, and given where the current state of our enrollment is and what we're monitoring, and the fact that just since the October beds day, there has been an increase of 56 total students district-wide, we're seeing a need to address it. And so mm-hmm. I want to make a motion on the two breakage salaries, but there is four lines down, fringe benefits for additional positions that would be associated with, at least in part, associated with that. So to the extent that 2, 3, and 4 would also go together,
right?
I mean, maybe is it possible that we could talk about them and make one motion on all of it together, since we're talking about the positions. It might as well do positions. So,
so
my motion would be to adopt lines, the modification lines 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, which are, you know, as Ginger always likes to say, we're a people business.
Children
business, but it's also, it's a people business.
So I wanted to explain what each one, for the record.
Yes.
If you don't mind. So that first line is the breakage positions, which I've already spoken about. The second, I think Ginger opened the meeting with speaking about what has happened in a nearby district. We feel that mental health, the focus of one of the major focus for this year is on mental health. And we believe that we would like to see, similar to what we did 3 years ago when we put in a drug and alcohol person, we saw the need and we put that one district-wide. We believe that we see a need for a mental health interventionist district-wide. We'd like to put one in for next year. We also see that there are more and more behaviors at the elementary level that our principals are having to deal with. And they're being asked to do the kinds of work that a psychologist or a social worker needs to do. And we are very lucky in this district to have two specialists, but more than often we're calling on those two specialists to man our needs. And we just really feel that we'd like to have one at the elementary level and to join the other two ABA specialists. So we're calling them behaviorists, ABA specialist, but this one will be for our elementary schools. So, and then we're just looking at the number of new entrants that are coming in, and we believe that we're so tight on E&L, we need to have in our breakage one dedicated position for E&L. We're there. Okay, so we're asking for that. And those are the four positions. So, Nina, there's nine positions in here, nine positions in this budget. And I'm going to say this now. I don't think we could do this next year. This is a one-time event that we're taking advantage of some monies that we haven't spent, that were allocated. We're pulling it into the budget. We're addressing a need. But those nine positions come with benefits that go to the future. And so I've already said to the board, I know Nina's smiling. We need this, as the principals will tell you. We need this, but it's a caution that we're going to have to look at where we, in the future, addition by subtraction. But this year, we do need it.
Debbie, go ahead. Debbie, be just in the second or whatever, just make sure you include everything that's included one more time for the record.
Lines 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay. So we would have four breakage positions available.
Unallocated.
Can you give us an idea of how many you feel are perhaps in jeopardy of moving the numbers up so that we would need to utilize those breakage positions?
There is only one school that is even close, and that is only if we use the BOCES numbers. If we use our rollover numbers, which are usually pretty good for JJP, we're not near that. But if we use the BOCES numbers, yes, we are.
Okay, but that would only be one.
One. The others.
So you're comfortable.
I'm very comfortable with what we have.
Okay. Then I just have another question, not directly related to this, but related to this. Since we were so surprised at Pasadena's numbers growing, particularly, what did you say, in the third grade?
Current third grade.
We're now at 29, and we began the year with 25 in each class. Are we going to look at how we make those determinations, and can we somehow either better predict or add more. I don't know what the answer is, but you don't want to have years where every class is at 24, at 29.
No, we can't have that. Right. We can't. And so that's why we committed very early to an additional section in Pasadena. Right.
For the following grade.
And we've looked at the kindergarten, for example. The kindergarten is running pretty low at Pasadena.
Okay.
But the BOCES projection is that, if we look at the bodies that are there now, we wouldn't have five sections. Okay. But if we look at the BOCES projection, we will have five sections. So we're following the more generous projection of five. And then having the four breakages, I feel confident that we should be.
But we didn't want to break those classes last year because it was after school
It
started.
Was in October.
Right. But yeah. I think that we may have to revisit that.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
Right, yes. The problem is that portal day is when you really want to have your staffing. Right. Because after that, then you have someone. Portal day is the third Wednesday in August.
When everybody gets their schedule.
When everybody gets their schedule.
Class.
These parents know portal day. Are you kidding?
That's part of the way we do things
around here. So we have portal day for transportation the week before and portal day for open. We will look at that, but we will also re-look at, and this is very important because we notice that for people who rent, September 1 was like a big event for us.
Okay.
And we've not been used to that. But there's a shift in patterns. And if you're renting September 1, you're going to wait until you get your rental agreements. And that's what we saw, that September 1. So we're going to look at that because we're starting school after Labor Day. So we're going to look at our September 1 to look at before we open school. I mean, it's pretty close, but that's really what we're noticing in certain areas, that the September 1, the first of the month, is a better estimate of where
are
we're going to be.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Susan.
I think the focus of mental health is imperative.
Thank you. I do too.
So, and I'd rather be a leader in mental health, especially.
Thank you.
Now, I think a note that we talked about in prior meetings is this is not just for school hours. This would be starting the mental health
interventionist. We have to work out the details with both union and council. But the idea is that we don't need another one person who's only available when kids are in classes. And I'm thinking, so we are going to have to work out the detail because this person has to be available when kids are finished with school and accessible to that person, and also for staff. So this is someone who has expertise in both staff and students' mental health interventions.
Right.
And so the details have to be worked out, but right now we're doing budget.
The plan would be part day, part after school. Okay. And then I'm just noting now, this is a person you'd want to be psych D, PhD, doctor.
Someone with
experience.
I don't want to tie it down to that because you could have a great mental health. I mean, I'm thinking of Diane Sweet, who is such a crisis interventionist.
Okay. I
don't want to say it has to be a certain degree. I want someone who can handle crisis.
So I'm just looking at the change, like $90,000 and the $102,000 for behavioralist on line three.
Right.
Now, if they're similar, I'm just curious why the $12,000 in difference.
Look, between the two of them, it might be a social worker and a psychologist. We don't know.
So you're going to be averaging at like $95,000 for each position.
But we're not tied
to those numbers. If we need to be at a different number,
right?
But
so you notice that's higher than our FTEs above.
Right.
We know we can't have a newbie taking these jobs.
No, I know that. That's why I'm saying I was thinking that it would be the numbers would be reversed.
Similar, but one was built off for psych and one was built off social work. So we don't know yet what we'll get.
It would just be the best person for the
best person for the job.
Thank you.
On the motion, all in favor? So moved. And I just want to say how very proud I am of just not central the board for realizing the need and to have this as part of our crusade that we worry every day about the fragility of many of our kids, and this is really going to be an enormous help. So thank you for making sure it was in the budget. Okay.
The next line was we were asked to research what it would take to transport students after athletics.
No, we have to do the 1-5 and take a vote.
We did
that already. That was the motion.
Okay.
We're just moving along. So
we're trying to.
Okay.
So line 6 is just, we were asked to research what it would take to transport students after the day for athletics. It is $1.1 million.
Is there a motion? Is there discussion? Yes, go ahead.
So seeing the cost and how high it is, sorry, I'm losing my voice. Can we maybe take a survey and see how many parents have interest and then maybe revisit this at another point in time? Since the cost is so high, and before we start spending this amount of money,
I want to
make sure that the interest is.
So I want to be clear on the direction. This is not for this budget, but for future.
Take a survey of the community and see if it's warranted, and put it into the budget for next year. If it's over, and we can have a discussion. Maybe if it's over a certain amount of students.
Absolutely.
Do you want me only to ask for athletes?
Yes, that's what the question was for.
Okay.
So if we're doing a survey anyhow, I think we should ask more than just athletes, because they're always like the drama department sometimes goes beyond the late bus route.
Very frequently goes beyond the late bus.
There may be others. So I think we should survey, get a gauge of the areas, the interests, and then we can have a discussion, and
Okay, I'll be happy to do a survey. What's flashing in my mind is, how do you frame the question? Because people will say, if it's available, sure, I'll use it. And then I look at my 9th and 10th period buses that we have provided that go out empty.
Right.
Maybe one of the questions
more than one question.
Would be that would your child have participated in a sport or a club if there had been additional busing? So we could, and if so, what?
That's a good question.
Because the kids that are doing it now and getting rides back and forth, they're still doing it. There may be a whole group of kids outside that they just have no way of participating.
No, I think middle school.
That's what
7 through 12?
Yeah.
Well, why not 5 and 6? They participate in drama cadets too.
Okay.
So if middle school and high school.
I mean, that doesn't mean we're going
to
do it. But we'll have the information.
Just feel it out.
You hear from the 7th and 8th grade parents that there is an interest in busing after drama cadets at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. What are you gonna do? Say only the 7th and 8th graders can get on the bus, the 5th and 6th graders can't get on the bus. They're all part of the same.
I have a 5th grader.
Rich. Another thing that would have to be framed out in order to get a true response is that the parents would need to know the parameters. And coming from districts that have provided this, it can't be on call. So let's say drama cadets gets out at 9 o'clock. School districts do not transport home at 9 o'clock. You set up regular runs. And you also have to be mindful that whatever we do in the public school, we have to provide to the private. So the schedule looks quite a bit different, and the activities end up having to bend in order to get the students who are participating
and
onto the buses.
We might then need supervision, because if, you know, certain activities end at a certain time, but the bus doesn't do their rounds until whatever time, then those students need to be supervised.
We'll do the survey.
So.
Look. There's no motion to do this now.
No.
It's a discussion that we want to collect data, and it turns out, and have a fuller discussion.
We'll find out how
at some point before next budget season.
We can start to quell it down to make it realistic that you're not having a bus every 15 minutes.
If it's something that we're interested in doing, right? And we can have the discussion of the slippery slope of what you provide and when you provide it and to whom you provide it.
And I just want to ask one more question too, because you brought up a very good point. Is does this 1.1 million? Is this just to transport our athletes? Does this take into the account the potential if all the kids who go to Chaminade and St. Anthony's and suddenly say, I want to ride home from sports now, too?
It does take that into account.
It has, because the law says that.
But I think you built that on one run. Is that correct? That's one run.
One run.
One afternoon run. Not multiple tiers.
Okay. Central Printing Services.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. This was, as I brought up at the last budget meeting, we found an error in the budget where we did not appropriate money into the proposed budget. And this is for things like printing of the newsletter, high school agendas, and things like that, where we're outsourcing the printing. So we do need to fill this code.
Debbie? Second, Seth. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved.
Thank you.
Pasadena Supplies for two additional sections.
You want to do those two together?
And, Pasadena Equipment for two additional sections. You just want to say what's included in briefly, or we're okay?
That was the two allocated sections for Pasadena.
They need supplies.
Don't we have to talk about line 16 with that?
No.
No, that's different. No, different. These are the allocated from the breakage classrooms.
Motion. Lauren, second. Jody, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Competition fees.
So we do have some monies in our budget, but we are very successful in so many areas, and we're always, for example, our POBOTs are going out pretty soon. And we were able to send them out at a pretty nominal cost to parents because we had some funds that we had set aside. We have competitions that are state and all over the country. We like to see our name out there. Our kids give wonderful opportunities. So we thought, let's make sure that we have enough for the success that we seem to be having. So additional $50,000.
Is there a motion on competition fees to increase by $50,000? Susan, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. We have two items for STEAM event supplies and STEAM event supervision. Dr. Lucia,
so we had STEAM night, and again, I want to give all thanks to the tremendous team that put it together, spearheaded by some wonderful individuals, including Suzanne and Rachel Lindsay and Stephanie and lots of wonderful people, most of them sitting here, the administrators. It costs money. It's 1,000 people that came the other night, and we give, there are supplies that are associated with it. There's supervision that's associated. We do T-shirts just to identify who's in charge. So it's a supervision thing. It's not like we're giving away T-shirts. We need to know who's in charge. When you have 100 people, whether they're students and staff and administrators, it costs money to put it together and the supervision also. So we would like to recognize it by adding that to the budget.
Is there a motion? Seth, second. Lauren, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Next one is a copy center salary for operators. Dr. Lewis?
If we could put 13 and 14 together, because it's a concept. It's a concept that we're bringing to the board. Our copies, our machines are coming up. The contract is coming due. And we're looking at districts that have centralized printing for large projects like midterms and quarterlies and things that we normally do, and also the ability to tie all of our computers to this center. So if you are copying something that you need, you have to give us some lead time, we'd be able to send it over to the centralized printer and then it would be transported back to your building. So we are looking at setting up centralized printing that would be staffed by someone and also having someone bring those copies to the building. So that means having a vehicle that's dedicated for it. Vince and Rich went to visit Great Neck this past week to see theirs because they had a Minolta system. In fact, the Minolta, the company, actually provides the copy clerk. So that if that person is out sick, another person comes in. I mean, it's a whole package that comes with it. And we intend to visit other districts to see. It's a 21st century way of doing things. We should not have our teachers standing at machines waiting to print. And the beautiful part about it is if you have someone who knows the machine, they sort of know how to triage when the machine is down. The paper doesn't get wasted. It's down much less often. And just a different way of looking at our printing. We have a ton of printers all over the district. We just have to look at a different way of doing this. So we are proposing to put that in place, realizing that that comes with savings on the other end, savings of paper, of wasted time for teachers and staff and wasted machines. So it's a package that goes together. The board can choose to approve it or not.
Is there a motion on the copy center salary and the vehicle? Debbie, second. Susan, any discussion?
Do we talk about what location this would be in?
We're looking at the POB Middle School downstairs on the first floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, across.
It was actually in the former area where the private school book room was.
Right.
And we're not using that for... We're not modifying that.
We are modifying it, but for copy.
Well, and this goes back to the November presentation, we actually had it on the floor plan in the November presentation as an idea. So that area would have a copy center, faculty room for POB Middle School, and then another area where we'd be moving some of the director's desks, telephones, and work center there. So we'd be moving things down to the first level.
Okay, thank you.
So we would be, if you go into POB Middle School right now, there's a big machine there that is taking up a lot of space from our guidance area. In our plan, we would be capturing that space.
Oh, in the main office, right.
In the main office, mm-hmm. Capturing that space. But that does not mean that POB Middle School will not have a little...
No, they still have both guidance in the main office would have separate, rather robust machines.
Right. Uh-huh.
So a couple of things. One is short-term investment for long-term savings, both in money and in time, operationally efficient, financially efficient. Obviously, we'll be able to monitor it. Doesn't mean the buildings won't have copy machines.
Right,
obviously.
That's what I just said.
Right, but also 30% of the cost is I'm not going to say a one time, but hopefully one time in many, many, many years, right? Because if you're investing in a vehicle, hopefully you won't have to invest unless it's like a really souped up golf cart.
Well, there's another piece to this. The Jeep that we presently do the mail in is actually a security vehicle. And part of the superintendent's proposed budget is to have more after-hour security. They're going to need vehicles. That Jeep is going to be repurposed. So we're going to need another vehicle anyway.
Just need a different decal.
Yes.
And the motion? We have a motion already. Debbie, Susan, all in favor? So moved. Transfer to capital?
I'm going to ask Mr. Donnarumma to explain that. And that's, again, capturing some funds that we have.
Absolutely. So really two purposes for that $641,000. So two parts. I'll take the first part and reference the Salto lock system. So as we move through and implement the security enhancements we've talked about in past meetings, really that project is complete in three of our seven buildings so far. So approximately, $570,000 of that would be to support the Salto lock system, to support the implementation in the other buildings. And then more importantly, about $70,000 is to do one of two things that I'm going to talk about in detail. So with our camera system right now, I want you to think about just an upgrade of the overall dependability of the system. So at JFK High School, that security system is supported by five separate storage devices. And at any time, if one of those storage devices goes down, we lose approximately 32 cameras and the recording stops. JFK High School is the biggest of our buildings, but the same structure exists within the rest of our district. So you have multiple DVRs, as we call it. Some of them go all the way back until 2011 when they were installed. They're aging equipment, and they're also working in isolation. What I propose to do with that, those funds within there of the $70,000 is to centralize a security camera system. So what that means is that instead of having separate DVRs in each of our buildings, we would have two storage devices at the NOCT that would be controlled in a more stable environment. So we have a system that's not going to go down as often as it currently does right now. That's the first part. The second part has to do with bringing our systems together. So right now, we have security that's stationed behind each one of our desks, whether it's security, building aides, but they're there with the purpose of access control, looking at who's coming into the buildings, looking at what's going on in the cameras. That can be a very, very tedious task. The person that's in that room right now is looking at approximately 400 cameras throughout the district. And to find events on there with our current software becomes problematic. You're really looking through the weeds to try to find events that are important. So the next part is to get us onto software that starts to work together with our other systems. It really prompts those that are behind the computer terminals to information that's important, who's coming in and out of buildings, who's potentially being denied access to buildings, where there's action inside the building as far as motion. So it's feeding that person behind there the things that are important. That really is extremely important to get our system to be stable and also to really make it more user-friendly for those that are behind the desks. The rest of it would be for that Salto lock system.
So one of the things you didn't say, that system is being run on Windows 7.
Yes.
And
antiquated.
We believe that we might want to move it to another 21st century.
Gotcha.
Motion on the transfer to capital. Jody, second. Seth, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Dr. Lewis?
Okay, so the board, we've brought attention to the enrollment issues at all of our schools as we have adopted our enrollment patterns. We've looked at our enrollment patterns, and we see that Pasadena has been the school that's been taking on a number of students, more so than the other schools. So we believe that we would like to recommend to the board that while we have the opportunity to do so and funds are available, that we would propose adding two large classrooms to Pasadena and it's similar to what we're doing at Old Beth Page this year. The funds would be 2.5 and it would be from our capital reserve. So that would not add, that's why it's in a different color. It's not coming from the budget. Again, it's from funds that already are there and that we would we'd be able to allocate two additional classrooms.
I'm glad that you mentioned it. So because it's coming out of capital reserve, money that's already there, there still remains, even if there wasn't additional monies that go into the reserve, there still remains roughly $400,000 to $500,000 in the capital reserve. It would have no impact on the budget. It's a one-time structural change,
right,
just like we did with Old Beth, mm-hmm, and it ensures, you know, in the future, based upon recent shifts and demographics, that programs and services, class sizes, all maintained in the same way that, you know, within the guidelines that, you know, that we have. Also, as we talked about last time, it takes several years before all of this happens. So by starting the process now, we could, if approved by the voters, it allows us to get the ball rolling and, you know, by
21-22.
Hopefully that 21-22 and the big numbers, according to our most recent, is 23-24. So hopefully it's, you know, in place by then.
Okay. Yeah. Should be in place by then.
I'm going to ask our attorney to to start brainstorming here, because we're going to have to change our capital reserve proposition, Proposition 2. And when you walk through the building, because of the, you know, that that building had been used by BOCES, all right, and also when you put on the library, you actually subdivided the original library into classroom spaces. It's actually one large space got cut into four, three readings room plus another room. There are spaces that have the footprint of large classrooms already that have been subdivided. So what we'll need to do is do good space planning to figure out, are we actually adding two large classrooms, or are we recovering two existing large classrooms that have been subdivided and making small space? So the capital reserve proposition should be worded with some flexibility.
I believe the board was looking to add two additional classrooms, to earmark to build on two additional classrooms. Am I correct?
But isn't what Rich saying is that we're not sure yet whether we would take existing space, change them back into classrooms, and still build on, but use
whatever. So you're saying it's more than two, it could possibly be?
No, what I'm saying is this is a budget where you're for a little over 2,000 square feet of classroom space, including hallways, all right, all in.
Square feet, thanks.
We have to figure out where do we want those classrooms.
Okay.
And speaking to the principal, really you want them along a main hallway. But in the short time, we can't quite figure out how to do that.
I got it.
And you know that there are classrooms that were originally large classrooms that are now three small. Right, so do we move those smaller spaces? Do we build space for the smaller spaces, much like
we did at JJP?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you
know,
will
so
present a plan to us at some point that we will then.
So my suggestion is that when we word the capital, the proposition, we provide the flexibility that either we are building two full size classrooms, or we're building onto the building in order to get two large classrooms, and the actual additions are the auxiliary space where we might have reading instruction, resource room, you know, OP, you know those things.
So might it make more sense to add the square footage rather than to say what it is? Sorry.
Could we?
All right, would you say it? Because I know you'll say it much more eloquently.
I mean, we have to amend it tonight. And we have to word it so later on under new business. So,
it's the
equivalent of the square foot for two large instructional spaces, however it's created.
So instead of classroom, we're going to use instructional space.
What is it for about that?
Let me get out the calculator again.
Okay.
You're saying instructional space in lieu of
classroom 20 by 20?
Right, so that
just if you do the space, however, whether it's the library converted and you open up another space,
it's still flexibility to use it the
equivalent of two additional classrooms or two additional instructional spaces.
Right, let's go to the original when we first started talking about this was a music room and art room.
Right.
The current music rooms and art rooms are about 1,200 square feet each. But then you have to add hallway and other space. So what this is based on is an estimated construction value of $500 a square foot, plus all the architectural engineering testing, all of those fees that go in with it.
And that will be in the 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be covered.
Everything's in the 2.5. So the actual construction cost is estimated to be $2 million.
And everything else, the
right.
Ancillary.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your square footage you're talking about?
4,000 based on $500 a square foot, but we, you know, if we are building 2 years from now, we have to see what the, you know, the actual cost is.
4,000 mm-hmm. 4,000 square feet of classroom space.
Of instructional.
Instructional space.
Well, it, right.
Barbara, your microphone's not on.
And it's hiding.
Are you going to be redoing instructional space and hallway space, or access space? So redesign of building space, or is that what you're trying to do? Reconstruction?
Well, it's going to be some form of addition, you know. it would be reconstruction of the interior plus the addition of up to
4,000
square feet.
Of instructional.
You know, but
more than instructional, because mm-hmm. you're doing the hallways.
Right,
the
you have the access and everything else. The hallway.
And access. Mm-hmm.
Wait, Jack?
Thank you.
Jack, what are you saying?
For a total of 4,000 square feet.
Up to. Susan?
I just have a quick question.
But really, the square footage is going to be determined by need and total budget. You know, we're going to have to come to you with a floor plan where we're not going to exceed $2 million in construction costs.
2.5, right?
No.
Well,
$2 million
construction costs are $2 million, right.
Hard cost, soft cost.
Susan?
just a quick question on, now, understanding Prop 2 with the $4.5 million, and is that, this is coming from 2017, that's a different capital reserve.
No, it's the same.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So that's how, so yeah. We're going to have to change to
yes,
that.
That's yeah. what yeah. Barbara has to do.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So we, the original, the proposed budget had $4.5 million
mm-hmm.
Identified for capital.
Right.
For the fire alarm replacements at the elementary schools and the middle schools and emergency generators.
And what we're proposing is to add a 2.5 to the 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, so make it $7 million that we're going to be using for our capital. We had already, how much do we already have in the capital?
In transfer to capital?
No.
In the capital reserve?
In the reserve.
4.5.
No, there was $12 million right. total.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about how much was...
In other words, what did we tap into?
Seven, right. Once, if approved, the seven, there would remain of that $12 million, $400,000, but there's still another $13 million in space of the $25 million that the voters approved, should there be additional monies to put in.
Okay.
It's very nice to have financially savvy board members.
So right now we have $12 million.
Well, that's...
Mm-hmm. We have $12 million. What's the name of the reserve fund we're pulling the $7 million?
The 2017
capital reserve.
It has $12 million in it. No, where are we pulling?
At $12 million, we use some of it with approval from the
voters.
We use some of it with approval from voters last year.
So how much do I'm trying to find
how
out.
Much do we currently have?
Well, 11.6 minus 7. 4.6 million.
Right. About.
4.6 million.
Well, so we're getting
of the 12 million.
$7 million out of that.
But I don't know. There was 12 million put in out of the 25 that we're allowed to put in.
Correct.
Of the 12 million that was already put in, 4.6 has already been allocated and approved by the voters last school budget.
So we currently have in that fund
12 minus 4.6.
Well, we're going to show it. So
7.4.
I can remember where I filed it.
7.4.
Remember, we
have. I just want
more
point
than where.
7.4.
I want to make
right.
Just
and
make
we can still. What Seth was saying before is we where we get the money.
I have to move to the small screen. Yeah.
Where we get it from every year when there's money.
Right, but right now, but we don't have that right now.
No, but what he's saying is we have that cover. What
I want to make sure.
Yeah. It's important to say so.
It was a PowerPoint that we presented on reserves.
I thought you were asking for what we just provided to the board, those spreadsheets.
Right. No, the PowerPoint.
If you go to the last board meeting.
Okay.
On his game.
Seth.
He's kicking off his
roll. Yes. No, that's impressive.
Well, we have to wait.
Are you guys enjoying this?
Whoever thought a budget meeting would be so
there
much
it is.
Fun.
Okay,
there it is. There it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have $12 million minus the 4.6, which is
7.4.
But we are putting in $7 million, so we have $400,000.
That's
the
correct.
That's what Seth said.
Seth said.
Right. I believe
him. But this is good for...
Yeah. Okay. Now you saw. Yes. Okay.
But this is important for... Yeah, right. For people to see, and it was presented last time, so people could see. Good. Excellent.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Thank you. That's
no, we haven't gotten that far yet.
So people understand, at the end of June, we had 12. At the end of last year, there were $12 million in the reserve, but the voters approved for us to spend some funds, $4.6 million, to do various projects. Those are the vestibules and all of that, which is right. Right.
Yep. Safety.
So in that reserve is still $7.4 million. And we are suggesting that we use seven of it this year for expenditures, including fire alarms, the emergency generators in all buildings except for the high school. And the two instructional spaces. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So there's still 400,000 in that. And at the end of this year, if there are monies left over, the board can choose to put some more money in for next year. Okay. Okay.
Is there a motion, Seth? Is there a second? Debbie, any more discussion? All those in favor, so moved.
The drum roll. With the approvals, our budget to budget is now
3.3%,
but our tax levy is
1.99.
Yay.
Very good.
Very good.
Excellent. But that means that we are leaving on the table $1.8 million. And
explain what that means.
Yeah. So we have the capacity to tax up to what's the amount? Our levy cap is at 3.45%. We could have a budget with a levy of 3.45, but the board has asked and directed us, and we've complied to provide revenues in other ways so that our levy will be at under the 2%. Okay?
Okay.
One quick question.
Yeah.
So on the worksheet, okay, so I guess my modification, my sheet is different because I was looking at 100.
What line? Let me right size it.
I'm looking at budget with modification.
Right.
Because the sheet I had $160 million. This says $162 million. Okay, so that's what I was saying.
Okay.
The numbers weren't matching.
Right.
Because it was the same as this original superintendent on this
the sheet. Proposed. Right. Until he hits that X, it doesn't get activated.
Oh.
The X activates those numbers.
Okay, so that was a running total on.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So
what's the new proposed? It's 160.
The new proposed budget is
162 million, you said?
Correct, 162 million.
Can you make that larger, please?
162,357,920. That would be what the board would be voting on.
Tonight. Tonight, under new business.
Right. Under 162,357,920.
That's our budget.
If the board.
If we approve it.
With a 3.3 budget to budget and a 1.99 tax levy.
Where did all my stuff go? That's down.
Okay. Well done.
Okay. Moving right along.
Creative.
about budget public participation. Ladies and gentlemen, we now enter into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which the reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could be in some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. Public participation is open.
Good evening. My name is, can you hear me? Meredith Lewin. I live at 136 Orchard Street in Plainview, and I'm here on behalf of myself and a few of my concerned neighbors. It's spring, and the rumor starts every spring about the Fern Place School. The latest rumor is that the board has transferred ownership of the school to the ACDS without any public hearing, and that ACDS has plans to create additional parking on the property. And I also, you mentioned adding space to Pasadena. Are you going to change the footprint of Pasadena? Okay. So about Fern Place, what's the story with Fern Place?
Well, we have discussed starting in the summer that there was an interest in the building being purchased. The board has not sold any property. There will be public discussion on it. We are looking for an appraisal of the property, and that's where we are right now.
And what about creating additional parking on site?
That would not be up to us. That would be up to them.
They can do that without getting your
approval. Pardon me, I can't hear you.
They have an urgent need for parking, apparently, and they've been parking illegally behind the building for years. And someone said that they want to create, they want to go in and pave it because it's a muddy mess on their side of the property. So someone said they're applying for a loan to...
We haven't heard that one yet.
Well, but as the landlord, don't you have any say over?
Look into it.
In August, we discussed that there was interest in the property, as Ginger has just said, and several board meetings we have announced that, but there's been no, until the board has decided on moving forward, and of course that would involve some public participation and public involvement.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So I
absolutely.
Don't know where this person got the idea that...
No, they can't make
those
modifications. We own the property, right now.
Still own it. So, right? So anything about a loan and then building a parking lot, we still own the
somebody property. Called us to say that. We haven't verified it. We haven't, it was news today to us, but we will certainly look into it. But... they are not allowed. Their lease doesn't allow them to make changes to the property.
Those kind of changes. But they can do, inside changes, if they want to make something more...
interject. With R, they have to have our approval to make any changes inside. And so they can ask. We don't always say yes. But that building, before ACDS was there, was heavily modified by the previous tenant, which was Bosie's. Mm. They tend to make small spaces. But really, any major change has to be made by the owner, and we have to get building permits for that. And as I've said in numerous emails, the board has made they do not plan to expand the parking, do not plan to expand the building. We have not budgeted for it. We have not engaged architects to do anything like that, and the tenant can't do that on their own. They can't just blow out the parking lot, put up a wing, or anything like that.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jacques.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. Looking at the budget, the board has voted for extra cost for central printing, but there wasn't much discussion on what the offset the savings would be for not farming out or not purchasing that those printing services. So that is something that should be addressed too. If we're going to spend money to save money, shouldn't we be saving money as well? And on the copy center, we're looking at what is it? Over $100,000 for the copy center. Where are the savings for that? Are we just spending more money so that we can build up the budget? We really shouldn't be doing that, should we? And there was an item of transferring to capital from current expenses. I don't believe that that is a fiscally sound thing to take current expenses and capitalize them. I think you ought to research that carefully with the attorney. The other thing about the extra classrooms or the extra instructional space at Pasadena, other than the fact that the other school districts are the other schools, elementary schools, are going to want more spaces. It sort of reminds me of Parkinson's law of governmental institutions, which says that the number of people required for the operation of a governmental institution increases annually without regard to workload, if any. Now, seems like that we're doing the same thing with extra classrooms, with essentially a stable student population, we keep adding classrooms. I don't think... I'm sorry?
Third grade at Pasadena began this year at 25 students. They're operating right now at 29 students. They have come, so we need to build it.
Well...
Well, Parkway and Old Beth Page have had additions put on already. Yes. Stratford Road, obviously, because of now it's going to be Pasadena, so that the three smaller buildings that have the ability to do it. We've been talking about Pasadena and its crunchiness all year. And right now when we look to say, can you add rooms, what can you do, there is no space. You're more than welcome to walk around a building and see that every ounce of space is being utilized. Education is different today. And where you put in different kinds of technology labs or doing things for children, where you have special needs populations that take up different types of space also, that's what we're doing. We're not here to spend money to spend money. We're here to ensure that every child in the building, that there's a space for it. And if we have to break a class, we have the ability to do it.
I understand.
Thank you.
The other thing I do want to point out to the board, if the tax levy were at zero, I think the taxes to the homeowners, even without the reassessment, the taxes are going to go up because, as I understand it, the pie, the taxable properties in Plainview, the value is going down for some strange reason. So each homeowner is going to have to pay more. And frankly, for people who earn fixed income, that's not easy. Thank you.
And Jack, we appreciate that because I think it just isn't people on fixed incomes. We have people of all different things, and I think the biggest uncertainty we all have is what's going to happen to our property taxes. That's the biggest question mark out there. And that's why, when we talk about the pilots, we get really obsessed with that because it goes back on the local taxpayers. Yeah. And it's not fair, for existing businesses now to think that they can just go and say that they need this huge deduction and everything else. And if it's one senior center for people, the next one's going to come in, it's going to feel that they're entitled to the exact same thing, and it becomes a vicious cycle for us.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Jacques. Any other comments? Public participation is now closed. Do I have a motion for routine business? Debbie, second Susan. Any hold separations discussions? All in favor of new business, routine business, so moved. We have several items of new business. The first item is to recommendation to approve the property tax report card for the 2019-2020 school year. Is there a motion? Jody, second. Lauren, any discussion?
You already presented?
Oh, I didn't realize. I didn't think he was going to do it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad.
You're bad?
Yes. It's just a letter that we had. That's all I had.
Yeah. No, he has to put it up.
So. Yeah, but it changes.
Right.
Because now.
You did the modifications.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up.
You want to come back to it? All right. I'm going to take you. I'm going to try and take anything that's easier to do, maybe from the bottom. I'm just trying to say recommendation to approve the resolution. He wants to show us that and the expenditure of capital reserve, those three. So we'll have to wait until he's ready.
Yeah, he's already signed it.
But that's that. Well, we could go to the meetings.
Okay.
You know, guys, why don't
you got it?
Okay.
Where are we? Okay.
Into the draft. Can everyone see that? It's a little
there.
I don't know if there,
there
are copies out there. Is there an area in particular you're trying to bring?
Change the numbers.
You have to
go from 160 to 162.
Okay, generally we haven't done this during the meeting. We passed a resolution that would reflect the modifications that had been made.
So what you're voting on is
going to be the modifications.
Yes.
Who made the motion?
Jody and Lauren.
Okay, so you want to make it with the modifications?
Oh.
Well, there's the resolution, there's a sentence that says, once the budget is adopted, the property tax report card will be updated and will be made available at the next public meeting.
Oh, okay, so then we could just let it stand as is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
On the recommendation to approve the property tax report card for 2019-20, we have a motion, second. All in favor? So moved. We have recommendation to approve the resolution for the TRS reserve fund.
Can I explain that? Yeah. So the legislator, for years we've been lobbying the legislators to be able to establish a reserve fund for the teachers' retirement system so that in future years, when those funds, the percentages increase, we're protected from the spikes in that. So they finally did allow us to do it. We're allowed to put in 2% at the maximum each year up to 10%. So this year we're allowed to put in 2% of the TRS fund. I believe it's $2 million. It will be $2 million. I can look up my notes. But we need to have a resolution for the board, and in June we will report back to the board as to exactly what is needed. I will put it in. I know exactly what it is. No, I don't. Not yet. Until on the June 30th meeting, I want to do that. Right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is this 1.8? No, TRS. No. 1.8 million.
Okay.
No.
No,
that's not
TRS.
It. Nope, that's not. And
what's
when he comes back.
What's the question?
How much?
Oh, the amount of TRS. Was it two million?
2.1.
2.1. Right. Okay.
Okay.
2.1 million. We're allowed.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Sounds
all
good
right.
to me.
On the.
Added in my notes.
You're allowed up.
We're allowed to put in 2%. I am looking for those
looking
numbers.
On the property tax report card, there is a line with the explanations of reserves, and what we are suggesting we would do is take $1.2 million, which is our actual 2% of last year's TRS liability is about just over $1.2 million. It was about $1.25
million.
I think that's... That's the question you have.
Okay.
Okay.
So is there a motion for the recommendation to approve the resolutions for a TRS reserve fund? Jody, second. Seth, any hold separations discussions? All in favor? So moved. Is there a motion for a resolution to include the expenditure of capital fund reserve proposition 2? I think we have it up there. Do we have it?
As amended.
Is there a motion?
Does Barbara have to read it?
Seth, second. Lauren?
Yep.
Yeah, you want to read this one? This one's really...
There's a blank that Barbara's filling in. So.
Well, the conversation you see me walking back and forth...
Yes.
On is trying to figure out what the right phraseology is on this.
Oh.
So the original 2017 capital reserve proposition allowed for the reconstruction and expansion of space and the ancillary work. So now we're trying to determine what's the wording that we put in for this, and I kind of took the wording right out of that original resolution to say, and the reconstruction and expansion of the Pasadena Elementary School. However, I'm being told that might be too broad. So that's where we need to get the right wording in.
I thought we were going to put in the 4,000.
Yeah, the certain square feet. Footage.
That's what should say.
Of up to 4,000 square feet?
Isn't that what we said? 4,000 square feet. With, as Jacques had recommended, classroom and ancillary.
And that part's already in.
Ancillary.
The ancillary is already
in.
4,000 square feet was what we agreed
right.
on.
Right. And no, that's on the high end. We will have to see what the actual
up
construction cost.
Up to 4,000 square feet.
So... In filling in the blank, and I'll make this a little bit larger. This is the blank we're looking to fill in right here.
They can see it.
So what I have now is end the reconstruction and expansion of Pasadena Elementary School up to 4,000 square feet.
Right.
Does that work? Okay. I'm getting a slight head nod, which is optimistic.
Right.
So
okay.
We can go with that. And the total allocation or the appropriation from reserves, including all the work for the fire alarms, the emergency generators, and the expansion of space at Pasadena, is at a cost not to exceed $7 million.
Right. Right. Correct.
Okay.
Are you sure about the 4,000 square feet?
Yes.
Well, it would only be smaller. It's not bigger than that. Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's not larger.
On the motion, all in favor? Any? Okay, thank you. We need a resolution to amend the legal notice for the annual school budget vote with changes to Proposition 2. Jody, second Lauren. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. We need a resolution to adopt the 2019-2020 school district budget. On the motion, Debbie, second.
Seth.
Lauren, any discussion? All in favor? Do you have the move? The amount is
at $162,357,920.
All in favor? Oh. You're a big spender. I need a motion to adopt for the adoption of the Board of Education meetings for the 2019-2020 school year.
I'm busy.
You're busy? Jody can't make those dates. Is there a motion? Lauren, second. Susan, discussion? All in favor? A motion for request to the Board of Education approval for POB JFK coach bus to the CEO. Thank you. I have. Jody, could you just
say that? Okay. Request for the Board of Education approval for the POB JFK High School coach bus trip to the Cobo Center in Detroit, Michigan on April 24th through April 28th, 2019. Do you have a motion? Debbie? Second, Seth? All in favor?
So moved.
Can I have a motion on the recommendation for approval of college essay project apply? Susan, second Seth. All those in favor? Keep going.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
May I have a motion to approve the exchange student for the 2019-2020 school? Oh, I'm sorry.
11-9.
All right, well, let's do this one first, as long as I'm doing it. School year from Germany. Motion. Lauren, second. Debbie? Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion for the approval of the college essay project apply?
No, Columbia teachers.
11.8.
Oh, I'm really off. All right. May I have a motion for the approval of college essay project apply?
No,
we already did that.
11.9.
Oh, that's when I was choking to death. May I have a motion for the approval of Columbia Teachers College Summer Curriculum Project, ELA, grades K through 4. Seth, second. Lauren, all in favor? So moved. We already did the exchange student.
11.11.
Approval of the may I have a motion for the approval of the resolution to appoint a board of registrar? Yeah, I think we should explain it to everybody again. May I just have the motion, Susan?
Board of registration.
Second. Jody, and could somebody explain it again? That's okay. We still need explanation.
So under the education law, the school districts are supposed to have constituted a board of registration to consist of at least two individuals for each polling place, and those individuals are responsible for maintaining the registration and for registering people on the day of the election for the following school year. And right now, I believe you had those duties accomplished through inspectors of election. This is just formalizing it with the formal name of Board of Registration, and you're making your appointment.
Is there a motion?
Yes, there was a motion.
Okay.
And a second.
All right, all in favor? So moved. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand. May I have a motion, please, for permission to circulate two policies with changes shown in red. Internet's and the policy number is 7314/6460. Internet safety and use policies and policy number 7321, opioid overdose prevention, and two policies, 6180, employee ID badge, and 7125, student ID badge policy. On the motion, Jody. Second, Susan. Any discussion? All in favor?
She
Yep.
Yes.
This is circulation. May I please have a motion to cancel the Beechwood letter of credit amendments and obligations thereunder? Jody, second Lauren. Discussion.
Can we just explain what that means?
The district had an agreement with Beechwood Organization for the payment of $6 million in $2 million installments over a period of 3 years, starting on the occurrence of certain circumstances. So the final $2 million payment was made this past March of 2019. So you have been paid the full $6 million at this point. The letter of credit that was essentially securing that payment should be canceled now, since you can't collect on it anymore. There, and the bank is asking that you cancel it and also represent that you won't be seeking to claim under it. So the resolution authorizes the cancellation of the letter and authorizes the board president to sign it on behalf of the district and to return the originals to the bank.
On the motion, all in favor? Yeah,
it wasn't a check; it was a wire transfer. So
we have the money. We have the motion to enter into executive session for reasons of personnel. Seth, second Lauren. On the motion, I just want to wish everybody a very happy holiday. We'd like to thank our administrators for all the work they did for our budget to make sure that this is one of the best budgets that we have, and it's really something for all of our students. Thank you for your hard work and input into the PTA and to everybody who comes to our meetings. We want to thank you for working with us through our budget process.
Can I just add thanking Central? Because we started out the process, we didn't want to be above a 2% tax levy, and I think this budget really contains a lot of really great things for our kids, and it's at 1.99%. So
and
thank
also
you.
Thank you to the board for all the work that we've done to make it happen.